You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Now, you may have had this experience at some point in your life, maybe this week. Your friends or acquaintances do something fun, and you hear about it afterward, or maybe you see a post on social media while it's going on. You feel like you missed out. Why are they having fun? Well, you're not. Or you came in late to a hilarious online conversation, or you're the last one to find out about the meme everybody else was talking about. You may be experiencing FOMO, the fear of missing out. This fear of missing out is not a new concept, but has gotten a lot of attention in the social media age. And it can have some effects on our mental health and social interactions. Our next guest has researched the experience in young people and adults. He's here to help us better understand and manage our fear of missing out. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. When do you feel this fear of missing out? Do you feel like you have to be on social media more so you don't miss the important thing? How strongly do you feel it? How do you handle it? Does it affect decisions you make about what to do and when? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris Berry is a psychology professor at Washington State University. His lab researches youth behavior and personality. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I gave some, ideas of what fear of missing out might look like. Do you have kind of a working definition as you do your research into the topic?
You know, I think you gave a lot of really great examples just now. The way we sort of think about it is preoccupation or distress with missing out on activities, especially activities within our own social circle.
And this could happen without social media, but it seems like a lot easier to think about, to worry about when we're on social media a lot. Is that true?
That's right. And we didn't really have a term or a label for this in the psychological research world until about 10 years ago. And it really was because of social media and the availability of those images that we're missing out on. So our friends post a picture of something that they've done or a meal that they've had or an outing or event that they've gone to. And it's readily available for us to see and to realize that we've missed out.
We use FOMO, fear of missing out, maybe a lot on social media and is just kind of a, you know, I guess a pop culture term. Are there potentially significant consequences for our mental and emotional well-being if we're feeling this a lot in a negative way?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we've done in my research is look at the apparent impact of social media on adolescents, for example. And we don't really see a one-size-fits-all impact. What we see is that in one of our studies, adolescents with more social media accounts experienced higher rates of anxiety and depression, but only if they also had that fear of missing out. So that fear of missing out in terms of how someone approaches social media and the impact it has on them seems to be a really important variable.
When I think of fear of missing out and heavy social media users, I do think first of younger people. But you did some studies with different age groups trying to dig into this. What did you look at? What did you end up finding?
Yeah, so with the study I just mentioned, I was telling another researcher about it and talking about fear of missing out being a really important factor. And they said to me, well, what do you do about fear of missing out? And I didn't really have an answer for that. And it really got me thinking about what is really behind that. And is it something that we would see primarily in younger people as we might expect? And so the study that we did that you referenced looked at individuals in their teens, another group in their 20s, another group in their 30s, and another group in their 40s. And long story short, we didn't find any age differences in fear of missing out at all. Instead, what we found is that regardless of age, people who tended to have lower self-esteem reported more isolation or loneliness, lower self-compassion, so really having a hard time coping with setbacks, also reported more fear of missing out. So it seems to be more of an individual variable more than just a generational thing or an age thing.
Is there something that sets apart people who might experience this negative fear of missing out if it is an age? Is there something else that might be a warning factor?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the one variable I mentioned, self-compassion, that I think is important. Part of self-compassion is what's known as mindfulness, and it's being in the moment. And so if we're really in the moment, tuned into the people around us, the experiences around us, there's really, in my opinion, less room for missing out. worrying about what we're not doing because we're really immersed in what we are doing.
We're talking about the concept of FOMO, fear of missing out, when we see likely on social media, though not just on social media, like, hey, it seems like everybody else is doing fun stuff and I'm missing out. And maybe if I have serious FOMO going on here, I feel bad about it. Has this happened to you or someone you know? Have you found a way to deal with it? When you look on social media and see all that cool stuff, does it make you feel bad you're not doing all the cool stuff? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Chris, I think sometimes we have conversations where it's, social media is good or social media is bad. But from your research and others, it seems like it could go either way. I could use social media as a tool to arrange that cool stuff, get together with my friends. It could be an avenue for a good social connection, or I could lurk and watch people do fun stuff and feel bad that I'm not out doing it. It's kind of how we use it.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, yeah, the research findings are really mixed. It's as I mentioned earlier, not a one size fits all piece. So what we really sort of have narrowed in on is someone's mindset. You know, how are they using social media? What are they using it for? If it's causing any kind of distress, are they taking reasonable steps to maybe cut back on it, and really using it as a tool for things that are beneficial?
If we are in that zone where we're using it in that negative way, we're seeing the people post the best, the highlight reels of their lives and comparing our own daily lives to it, how are there thoughts on how we can break out of that?
Yeah, that's a great question and an important one. I think the first step in that is to really tune into, is this something that's really adding to my daily life? Is this something that's beneficial for me? Or is this something that's just really causing me a lot of stress? So I think that's the first step. Another thing that we looked at in some of our research are what's known as protective behavioral strategies. So these are things that are designed to limit the impact of something. And so it really is rooted in the addiction research, actually. So things that people might use to lessen the impact or the harm caused by alcohol use, for example. So using a designated driver is one classic example. So in terms of the social media piece, one of the things that we've had adolescents and young adults tell us in our research that they might do are things like turning off notifications so that we're not getting a notification every time there's a post or someone's messaged us, turning off the device at night. One of the things that we see with teens over the last decade is that social media and electronic use more broadly negatively impacts sleep. Deleting apps might be a little bit more of a drastic step, but something that some people are willing to do if it's really taking a lot of time. So what are the strategies that someone might use to just lessen the impact?
I've talked to a guest about taking social media Sabbath, picking one day of the week where you don't do any social media. Or I've heard other people say, schedule yourself at whatever, 7 p.m., I'm going to take 20 minutes and catch up on my social media, but I'm not going to keep picking it up through the day. Are those other good strategies?
Absolutely. And I think those are things that are sort of trial and error. And they're sort of, again, not a one size fits all piece, but it's something that someone could really think about as potentially a good fit for them. And for those of us who work with teens or young people, I think it's incumbent upon us to just describe those strategies to them, so they're just aware of some of the different things that they might try.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Paul is calling from the Mississippi River. You're out on the river. Is that right, Paul?
Well, we just left the river, but I just heard your story, and I thought I had something to contribute.
Yeah, what did you want to tell us about, Paul?
Well, I'm on the other end of the fear of missing out. I create these events for our summer camp in Wisconsin. The camp's been in existence since 1951, and we do these reunions. And I get calls from kids of kids that went to the summer camp, and they feel bad that they can't come to the reunion. So I have to talk them down sometime, like, you know, you can come to the reunion next year, or study us on the website and keep in touch with us. That makes them feel a little better, especially the kids on social media that really want to participate in this, you know, event. Those who live in Wisconsin may understand the beauty of these summer camps all over the state.
Paul, I want to talk about the connections you have. Now, people had such a great experience with their first outing in this camp program. They want to keep coming back and rekindling those connections year after year?
That's correct. And we meet every year in Waupaca for this summer camp that closed in 1988, and yet we still go back, many of us, every year to Waupaca. We hang out at the Chain of Lakes or on Stratton Lake where the camp was, and we get, you know, 10, 15 people. Sometimes we get 70. But I always get these people that say we have a fear of missing out, like we'll never get to go to the camp again.
And Paul, can I ask, how long have you personally been doing this?
Since I was a camper in 1966, and I worked through the ranks like a lot of other people. I came back as a junior counselor, senior counselor, then as a director. And then finally, after the camp closed, I created this group, CampWaupaca.com. And we basically, you know, send pictures and we tell stories about our experiences at camp. And now we have the kids and even the grandkids of campers and staff that went there.
Paul, thanks a lot for sharing that. That's a great story. You may hear more from us. I think we'll want to know more about that. But Chris, I think at the core of the fear of missing out is the worry about being isolated from people. Paul's experience there at the camp really affirms the value of making those connections. Even if some people worry that they can't make it this year, they have that fear of missing out. I don't know. Could you talk about what you hear in those connections Paul's telling us about?
That's right. I mean, Paul was giving me a little fear of missing out, describing being out on the river this afternoon. I think you know, that sort of fits a point that you made earlier, which is that fear of missing out is I think a part of a human experience in that we want to connect. We don't want to be isolated. And this has been the case since long before social media. The social media makes it a more salient everyday experience. It makes it more obvious what we're missing out on. I suspect with these camp reunions, a lot of the location, time, date, et cetera, are communicated online or through social media too. So it just makes those things that we're missing out on more obvious to us than they might have been in years past. But the key point is that, it's understandable that people experience a fear of missing out because we like to connect with others for the most part.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to psychology professor Chris Berry from Washington State University, looking at the idea of FOMO, the fear of missing out, how to manage it. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had this feeling yourself? What gives you the fear of missing out? Do you think social media or other technology is contributing to your FOMO or in general in our society? Join in at 800-642-1234. Or have you found a way to overcome that? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Chris Berry, psychology professor at Washington State University, who researches youth behavior and personality. He's with us today to explore how we're affected by the fear of missing out, FOMO, and what we can do when we feel it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had this maybe while looking at social media? Everybody's doing cool stuff that I am missing out on. Do you still feel that way? Did you get over it in some way? Did it inspire you to do more stuff with people? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris, I wonder if this is a variety of fear of missing out. The idea that, okay, when we do something fun and cool, if I'm out with friends at a restaurant or bar or whatever, then I might take a picture, put it on social media. If I'm at home eating pretzels, watching a Gilligan's Island marathon, I'm probably not going to post that. So then when you go and look at social media, everybody's posting their best stuff on there, but you compare it to your daily life that, you know, there's some fun stuff, but it isn't always that way. Do we kind of compare our daily lives with that best of reel we're getting on social media all the time?
Right. It's a really important point too. You know, I've heard many people say that what you're seeing on social media is essentially a highlight reel from people. And certainly some people decide that a lot of experiences that they have are worth highlights. And so they post those, and some people may be more hesitant to do so. I mentioned the sleep issue earlier. The other thing that we see consistently in the research in terms of potential negative impacts of social media, and again, there are some positives that appear to be the case, are those social comparisons. And so I think especially as these platforms were becoming more widespread and more commonly used, it was natural to start to engage in a lot of social comparisons that we would not have made if we'd not seen these posts on social media. But again, it's important to keep in mind that we're seeing the best case scenario in most cases from the people that we follow.
A lot of your research works with younger people. Maybe their first experience is getting into social media. Do you have thoughts on how, you know, we can prepare kids to recognize that this is the way things work and not be overwhelmed by the fear of missing out?
It is a great question as well. And I think part of it is, or part of the challenge is that these platforms are constantly changing and evolving and emerging. And so the things that teens used 5 years ago have changed to new platforms now. And so part of the challenge for parents, for example, is to just be aware of what's out there and what's popular among teens. I think the other part is to really stress the message that even though social media can be a useful tool for a lot of reasons, they're not, I think, best thought of as replacing those face-to-face or direct interactions with peers. And so to really encourage those opportunities as well.
Talking about the idea of FOMO, the fear of missing out, with Chris Berry, psychology professor at Washington State University. He's done some research on this. We heard from Paul and Phillips, who couldn't stay on the line but wanted to bring up the other side. JOMO, joy of missing out. Paul told us there's so many things to do at this point in my life. A lot I see has been there, done that. I'm on to doing other things. Chris, people have talked about this idea that, like, hey, I feel good. There's too much stuff out there. I like having a break from it. You tried to look into this idea of the joy of missing out. Is it a thing?
Yeah, we tried to, as you said. Yeah, so the thing about joy of missing out that we had in mind was that exactly as you said, that there may be times where it's just good to disconnect. That disconnection can be rejuvenating, can be refreshing to us. And we've probably all experienced that from time to time. What we found when we tried to measure JOMO to get people to sort of reflect on their experiences is we ended up finding unexpectedly that people who reported joy of missing out, a lot of them also reported a lot of social anxiety and loneliness. And so part of what we were capturing unintentionally was that some people enjoy missing out because social interactions for them are really stressful or anxiety provoking, which was not what we were trying to get at. What we were trying to get at is the enjoyment of just disconnecting, of having those periods of solitude that where we can sort of self-reflect and like I said, get rejuvenated. So we do see some people who are reporting that and also reporting not as much anxiety and greater life satisfaction. But the other thing, I guess, bottom line that I would say about that is that JOMO is probably best understood as sort of short periods of time where we like to sort of decompress, turn things off, disconnect. But then as human beings, most of us still want to reconnect with other people and stay connected.
Yeah, a lot of this sounds really high tech, things we do on social media, but it speaks to, you know, maybe something fundamental about us as social animals. Is fear of missing out just part of an expression of our basic need to connect with other humans?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that we weren't really forced to think about it in the way that we've been talking about until social media put the missing out kind of right in our pockets.
What are you looking at next when it comes to researching these ideas of missing out on other things and how we relate to it?
So the next step we're in the process of developing is to revisit the concept of JOMO, or joy of missing out, but to look at it not as sort of a personality trait that people have, but to look at it in terms of periods throughout the day that people are experiencing greater solitude. And are they also experiencing some sort of relief or some sort of greater sense of calm at those times? So what we're going to do with that study is to have people sort of reflect on their mental state, their disconnection or connection regarding others multiple times a day over the course of a week to really see the more moment-to-moment changes in connection with others, and is that a good thing or not a good thing?
Having studied this so closely yourself, does this change the way you think about how you use social media to connect to other people?
Absolutely, and I think the challenge is to not try to not be hypocritical about it, or to actually learn from what we're doing. And so I do think that, you know, I've found myself being more mindful about my interface with social media. Is it beneficial? In what ways is it beneficial? Am I getting really upset about seeing some posts? Maybe it's a political thing or whatever. And in those situations, maybe disconnecting or turning it off.
And how about your students as you talk to them about it? How do they reflect on these issues?
They're just a fountain of information, as you might imagine. Just their sophistication with these platforms is really high. And I think they have a pretty strong sense of how people express themselves in these platforms and how that's changed. And so one of the things that students continue to tell me is that there's a difference between seeing posts that are more visual or photo based and those that are more text based. And so the photo base is just a quicker hit. It often sort of engenders that fear of missing out more quickly than just reading someone's tweet or Facebook post, for example, that's a lot of words.
Interesting. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That's Chris Berry, psychology professor at Washington State University. His lab researches youth behavior and personality. He's with us today to talk about the fear of missing out and how to handle it. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.